Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor there is no shadow you won't light up. God won't light up coming after you. There is no shadow Jesus won't light up coming after you. Hallelujah. Please have your seat. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just feel like telling this story. And just talk about the reality of Jesus. Now, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Over the week, I got a video from someone, and I know the preacher that was preaching, so I decided to listen to it. And the preacher said this. In the meeting where he was teaching, one lady was in the meeting. And they had a plane. She was in a plane. And they were flying from Australia to New Zealand. And all of a sudden, the weather changed. The storm was raging. And the plane, so the sky was on fire. And you know that if you're in a plane and the sun, the storm is raging, there is big chance that you will have a crash if you're in a plane. So people were hysteric. People were running helter-skelter just because they did not know that God was in control. So she was part of the people that were afraid. And she looked at her side and somebody was praying. And it's not strange to be praying at that time. Hallelujah. It's not strange to be praying. So she looked at her, said, let's pray together. I said, Jesus, you quieted the storm 2,000 years ago. And you can quiet the storm now. Please quiet the storm within the plane and outside the plane. The Bible, as a matter of fact, this is what the preacher said. That immediately, the people in the plane became quiet all of a sudden. The people in the plane became quiet, sat down. The storm was still raging, but the people in the plane became quiet. They prayed. So she was a photographer. So she decided to take a picture of the storm. And she took this picture of the storm, and this was some years back. This is not when you had a smartphone, and this is not when things were sophisticated. So she had to develop the film. And when she sent the film for development, when she got to her destination, she sent the film for development. And the developer saw the film and developed the film. And what they saw made them to call the woman. Like, see, you have to come and pick this picture by yourself because we have things to ask you. That day, the developer and all his family became a Christian. Why did they become a Christian? Because in the picture, they saw Jesus. Hallelujah. They saw a shape of a man in the storm, in the sky. Hallelujah. And that man was, and eventually took the picture, the storm calmed down and they got to the destination. They saw the shape of a man. Now this was not the woman that developed the film. This was a developer in New Zealand that developed the film. And they developed the film into a picture and saw the figure of Jesus in the storm. Hallelujah. Let me say to you, the things that you believe are real. The word of God is real. Hallelujah. I was just thinking about that, and the Lord gave me this scripture. Revelation chapter 19. I read from verse 11 to 16. The Lord gave me this scripture. You can keep playing on the background. Hallelujah. So, the Lord gave me this scripture. Revelation chapter 19. I read verse 11 to 16. Because just like different people in this place and some people in this place, there are things that challenge you, there are things that offend you, there are things that get you in a place where you don't feel comfortable about your faith. And I was in that kind of situation, and I was thinking about that the reality of the things of God, the reality of Jesus. And he gave me this scripture. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. So then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. His rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly. I'm reading from the NLT version. And he wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except him. He wore a robe dipped with blood, and his title was the Word of God. His title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest and pure white linen, followed him on the white horses. From his mouth came sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God and the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. Verse 16, on his robe at his thigh was written, King of Kings, Kings of all Kings, and Lord of all Lords. And I was thinking about that video, about the reality of Jesus. God gave me this scripture, that the Word of God is real. And the Word of God is real. And what God says actually is real. It's a reality. So if God has promised you a promise, given you a promise, if God has promised you anything, that thing will come to pass if you can hold on to it. Hallelujah. That thing will come to pass if you can hold on to it. Tell your neighbor, hold on to God's promises. Hold on to God's promises. There is nothing that God wouldn't do. God loves you. Hallelujah. God loves you with an undying love, with an unchanging love. God loves me. God loves you with an undying love, unchanging love. The circumstances that happen to you are just happening to you because God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You might have lost somebody. You might have been someone that is faced with financial challenges. You might be someone that is faced with difficulties of different kinds. And I don't claim to know all that you are going through, but I can tell you this: God's promise to you will not change, will not fail, will not fail. Because God is committed to his promises. The Bible says this way, that he watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, tell somebody that you can trust God. You can trust God. You can trust God. Hallelujah. I know I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the Word of God in the sense that I want to talk about the technology behind the Word, which is spiritual becoming physical, natural in our lives. Because our Christianity becomes failed or becomes weak or becomes we lose the sense of we lose the sense of the realities of Jesus because of the challenges that we face. But Paul said it this way: the challenges that we face are working for us a more excellent, glorious thing. Hallelujah. An eternal glory. He called it an eternal glory. The challenges that we face working for us an eternal glory. In other words, the challenges that you face, which many people struggle, they go to all sorts of places because of those challenges. They go to all sorts of places. I can tell you this. They go to all sorts of places because of those challenges. But that challenge is working for you. Paul said it that way. And I can tell you this. Because God loves you, he is committed to you. Hallelujah. He is committed to you. 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 Because God loves you. Hallelujah. God loves you with an everlasting love. Say, God loves me. God loves me. Say it boldly, God loves me. I don't know if you understand what I just said. The maker of heaven and earth loves you. Hallelujah. As a person, you know, a preacher said it this way, that even if you are the only person that was left in earth, hallelujah, that Jesus could have still died. Hallelujah. Say, for God so loves the world, and you were part of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. That if it was only you that needed Jesus, he would have still sent Jesus. He would have still given his best. See, the Bible says it this way in Romans chapter 8. It says that if he did not withhold his son, but gave him up for you and I. He gave his son up for you and I. For everyone. He gave his son for us all. How will he not, along with his son, freely give us all things? That's what the Bible says. That God is committed to us so much that Jesus died for you. Hallelujah. Jesus died so that you can live life abundantly. Jesus died so that you can live abundantly. Hallelujah. So God is saying to me, God is saying to you that I am committed to you. Hallelujah. I am committed to you. I am committed to your well-being. I am committed to see my word come to pass in your life. If you believe that, say amen to that. God is committed to you. The passage I just read, what struck me was that his title was the Word of God. Hallelujah. His title was the Word of God. His title was the Word of God. Yeah, we are doing a challenge. People to read the Bible, the New Testament, and read it 6 chapters. And people are lagging behind, and people are failing and not doing it as much as they ought to do. But I can tell you this, your life is hidden in the Word of God. Your life is hidden in the Word of God. If you don't prioritize God's Word, if you don't prioritize God's Word, what are you prioritizing in your life? Hallelujah. The Bible says that this man, his title is called the Word of God. And this told me, this put something in my consciousness. And this happened yesterday. I got this scripture yesterday. This put something in my consciousness. That see, that whatever God has said, it has already happened. It's already a reality. Hallelujah. It's already a reality. It's already a reality. God is committed to you. Even if I don't say anything else, even if I say just that, God is committed to his word coming to pass. God is committed to you. Hallelujah. But how do we take the word that is written in books, in apps, hallelujah, and make it flesh to us? Because if we don't do it, if we don't know how it is done, we will live like Christians, but we will find out that our life is not ours. We will just be Christians for Christians' sake. Hallelujah. We will just be Christians for being Christians. Because in our world, it's fashionable to be Christian. I don't know if you know that. In our world, in where we live, it is fashionable to be a Christian. If you go to developed countries, my friend is in developed countries. If you go to developed countries, you will not see, you see churches that people are not even practicing Christianity anymore. Hallelujah. Why? It's because they don't know the reality of God's word. Hallelujah. The Bible says that this man's title, hallelujah, this person, and this person is Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. This person's title is the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God can conquer any situation, that you are facing. The word of God has ability to conquer any situation that you are facing. Hallelujah. But do we know how to convert that word into reality? What do I mean by that? Converting the word into reality. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says the word became flesh. Flesh and blood, that's what NIV says. And dwelt among us and came into the neighborhood. Can we perform, or can we go through that situation and take the word of God concerning that thing and make it flesh and blood? Hallelujah. That is what Christianity is about. Converting the word that God says, God has said, concerning us, concerning our situations, God has spoken. If it's a habit that you are trying to overcome, God has spoken about that habit. Can we convert what God has said into reality? Can we convert what God has said into the reality of life? Hallelujah. Because many Christians just come to church for coming to church sake. Hallelujah. Because it's fashionable to be a Christian in this generation. Many children come to Christians come to church for coming to church sake. But the realities of God are seen in this world. Look at John Hebrews chapter 1. We need to be convinced about the word. We need to be convinced about the word of God. Convinced about the word of God. If we are going to see the word of God come to pass in our life. Become a reality in our life. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 to 3. Let me go out from verse NLT. I'll go back to NIV. Hebrews chapter 1. See, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us. Hallelujah. Has God spoken to you? In other words, God kept on speaking in the past, but in these last days, to you and I, God has spoken. Hallelujah. God has spoken. Praise God. God has spoken. Why? What am I about? Is this? Is that everything that you face, God has a word that He has spoken concerning it. Every situation that you are facing, God has a word He has spoken concerning it. And if we find that word, we ought to bring it to reality in our lives. Hallelujah. So you must be convinced about the word. The Bible says there in the book of Revelation that that man is titled, his title is called the word of God. In other words, the word of God is the vehicle through which we can experience the will of God on the earth. Hallelujah. The word of God is the vehicle through which you can experience the will of God on the earth. Jesus, when Jesus was teaching us to pray, He prayed this way. He said, pray that your kingdom, what is done in heaven, the will of God will be done on earth. And that's our prayer. And if we are going to bring the will of God in heaven down to the earth, we must know how to convert the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to share with us this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is committed to His word. God is committed to His word. God is committed to His word. And He's committed to you. Hallelujah. But we need to be convinced that the word of God is true. And it was given to us through Jesus Christ. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 7 to verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 7 to 20. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Maybe we can stop playing the, because making people feel sleepy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to read from verse 17. This Paul speaking. Paul was speaking, and my focus is verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, but I just felt like reading, feel like reading from verse 17. Paul was making plans. He said, "Was I fickle?" Verse 17. "Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner, so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it is always being yes." Hallelujah. Remember that God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to get down to the word of God. He has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That in him is always yes. In the NLT, let me just read that in a different translation. In the NLT, it says that for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. Do you believe in Jesus? Hallelujah. Come and talk to me. Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus never wavers between yes and no. He never wavers between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas and Timothy and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. Hallelujah. He always does what he says. If he said he's going to heal you, he will heal you. Hallelujah. If he said that you will become something, you will become that thing. God's word that is coming through Jesus is always yes. It's always yes. It's always yes. Say, it's always yes. In other words, no matter the, let's read verse 20. No matter how many promises God has made, they have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Hallelujah. A lot of us doubt what God has said. A lot of us doubt what God has said. We don't, because we believe that God, as I'm talking from my own experience, we believe that God is going to do something. Hallelujah. But God has already done it. He has already done it. His word is settled forever in heaven. But we must bring it to the earth. Hallelujah. If we are going to experience it, we must bring it to the earth. How do we do that? We do that by faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, can read it, write it down. Because I'm looking at time. In Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 7, it says that we are born again through the word by faith, by grace, through faith. Hallelujah. That we are saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, is a gift of God. But it is free by grace, but we receive it by faith. There is nothing in God's word that faith cannot bring to fruition. In other words, if you have faith in what God has said, you will see that come to pass. How did God bring to pass the earth? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, that we by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. That things that are seen were made out of things that are not seen. In other words, it's because God knew how to convert things that were not seen into things that were seen. That's why you have a seat to sit down on. That's why you have the things that you see. Hallelujah. And as believers, we act so foolish, for lack of a better word, we act so foolish to not believe on things that are unseen. We look at the scriptures and we think, ah, man, this is the word of God. The word of God is secondary. Let us face primary the things that we are facing. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard anybody say this? That you are talking about the word of God. Let us talk about facts. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard someone say that? Please. We're talking about the word of God. Let us talk about facts. That the facts are this and this and this and this. But that facts that you focus on will only produce death. But the word of God will only produce life. So what has God said about your situation? Do you have faith enough to look for it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says that we are saved by grace. We get our deliverance by grace. Ephesians chapter 2. We get our deliverance by grace. We get our healing by grace. We get our salvation by grace. I was reading Isaiah chapter 53 and I realized something. That even though Jesus was persecuted and he was tormented and he was tortured. That's the better word. He was tortured. He was tortured for my sake and your sake. Hallelujah. It's not because of what I have done. Hallelujah. I want to say this to somebody. It's not because of what you have done or not done that things are happening to you. It's because you have an enemy and that enemy is under your feet. Are you getting what I'm saying? That enemy is under your feet. The enemy will always try. I read through Revelation that Jesus was going to fight the enemy to bring him down. But the enemy always fought back. Am I communicating? Jesus always won. The word of God always wins. But the enemy will always fight back. The enemy will always fight back. Can you withstand the enemy by your faith? Hallelujah. So it takes faith to convert what is spiritual into what is physical. It says we are saved, and that saved there means delivered, means prospered, means healed, means everything that you can get in Christ Jesus. You are saved by grace, but it comes through faith. Hallelujah. We are saved by grace. We receive things by grace, but it comes through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. Without faith, it's impossible to make the things that are written in scriptures become your reality. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, what is written in scripture can become your reality. It can become your reality, but it takes faith. Hallelujah. A lot of us give up on what God has said. A lot of us give up on what God has said. But if we can only hold on to it by faith, we will see it materialize. Hallelujah. So it takes faith to bring to fruition, to convert the word of God. I usually say it this way, that every currency that is valuable actually want to have it. But for us as people, for instance, dollar, everybody wants dollar because these days nowadays people are neither here nor there. And they're being careful with the dollar because the yen is coming up so strong. So strong. But let's take dollar for the instance. Of course it has a very, very successful economy. That's why the dollar is valuable. So we take the dollar and we want to change the dollar. We know we cannot use, except from some places, you cannot use dollar and buy in the market. Am I communicating? I might be wrong, go. But dollar is not a legal tender for Nigeria. Am I correct? Some people use dollar, big dollar. So but it is not legal. It's not the legal tender for Nigeria. The naira is the legal tender. So how do we take dollar to convert it to naira?
Hallelujah. So we have to check the conversion rate. We have to check, okay, this dollar is 700 and something naira. So we have to convert it. So we go to the malam. In the spiritual, the word of God is currency. The word of God is currency. The word of God is currency. The Bible is currency. Because I will break it down to you. The Bible is currency. And it is settled in heaven. In other words, it is the word of God that they used to trade in heaven. Heaven is a real place. I preached a sermon some time ago about heaven. And somebody sent a book to me. Hallelujah. And I read that book. Heaven is a real place where supernatural things happen. Heaven is a real place. Hallelujah. I don't know, tell your neighbor, heaven is real. Heaven is real. Heaven is a real place. It's a real place. It's not that we cannot see with our physical eyes. But heaven is a real place. There are streets in heaven. There are houses in heaven. There are things in heaven. Hallelujah. This woman that went to heaven said that they will enter the water, they will not get wet. They will enter the water and come out to another place. I want to live that life. Do you get what I'm saying? I want to live in heaven because heaven is a good place to live. Hallelujah. But just put aside. It takes Jesus to get to heaven. Without Jesus, you can't get to heaven. But heaven is a real place. And the word of God is the currency that is traded in heaven. But we need it for situations on the earth. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us to become flesh to us. Hallelujah. Am I the only one that needs that? I don't know about you, but I need what I see in the Bible to become flesh for us. I need what I see in the Bible to become flesh for me, to become my experience, to become my reality. I want to see that happen. But it takes faith for that to happen. Faith is the malam that converts heaven's currency to Nigeria's currency. Amen. Hallelujah. So without faith, you cannot convert the word of God. It is how God has made it. You might be someone that wishes and hopes that the things that you see in the Bible will become a reality. Because what I see in the Bible, I don't see happening in my life a lot of times. What I see in the Bible is big, is huge. I don't see it happen in my life. I can choose to sweep it under the carpet and become just reality. Just be doing church. Just be playing church. But I can choose to see what happens in the Bible become real in my life. Hallelujah. And it only takes faith to bring it to fruition. Hallelujah. But it takes faith to actually experience the paper, the word of God becomes a reality in your life. So in this situation, Jesus came out from the house and he saw a fig tree a day before. And he thought that there were fruits in the fig tree because the fig tree looked like it had fruits. So he went to the fig tree to get some fruits. Hallelujah. But he couldn't find any fruit there. So he said to the hearing of the disciples, let no man eat fruit from you again. And what happened was that, oh hallelujah, glory to God. Let no man, you need to tell somebody, tell something in your life. Let no man eat fruit from you again. Hallelujah. Something has been taking your money. Let no man eat fruit from you again. Hallelujah. Let no man take things from you again. You need to talk to that situation. But I said that without faith, you cannot bring this. Let me explain what I mean. Hallelujah. Before I get carried away. So Peter remembered and said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered to the truth, because Jesus had cursed the fig tree a day before. And Jesus' reply was, have faith in God. Jesus answered. Verse 22. Truly, I tell you, if anyone can say, can I read this in the NLT? Hallelujah. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You can do the same thing that I did. That's what Jesus was saying. I tell you the truth. You can do the same thing that I did. What did the Bible say? I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. You must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about faith from that scripture. Jesus told the disciples, Number one, you must earnestly desire that thing. You must earnestly desire it. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 1, that this will turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. But it's going to come according to my earnest expectation and hope. Do you desire that thing earnestly? A lot of us, we say we desire it. We desire it. Faith works with our desire. Hallelujah. Faith works with our desire. Do you desire to be whole? Yes. Then you have ticked that mark. You're in faith. Hallelujah. But beyond desire, you must come to the next one. I desire it. You must earnestly desire it. You must earnestly desire it. Let me give you an instance. Sometimes we don't desire what we pray for. We pray that God will do something, but we don't desire it. Why? How do I know that we don't desire it? Because if they ask you a week later, what did you pray about a week ago? You will forget it. You forget what you prayed about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Am I the only one that is in this situation? You must desire it. You must expect it to happen with all your heart. As a matter of fact, your faith runs dry if your desire runs dry. In KJV, if you read verse 24, it says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you received it and you will have it. In other words, you desire it, you desire it, you desire it. What is that thing? Do you desire to see the word of God come to pass in your life? Do you desire to see the word of God become a reality in your life? Do you desire it? You must desire it. You must desire the change in that situation. Then number two, you must say to the mountain. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Hallelujah. And this is something I want to talk about. A lot of times we think that the word of God is going to come to pass if we just declare. There's a part, there's something that confession does. It does great things. But saying to this mountain, there was a physical mountain that Jesus was talking to the disciples about. There is a particular situation that you are facing. There is a particular situation that you are facing. What I'm teaching is how to live above that situation. There's a particular situation that you are facing. If you can only say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. You must say. A lot of us are not saying. Start saying. Tell your neighbor, start saying. To this mountain, to these finances, to this situation. Start saying to this situation, if you shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. In other words, in the beginning, when the Bible says this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was void and formless, and darkness was under the surface of the deep. But the vow explained that to be death. Hallelujah. In other words, these are dead situations, hopeless situations. God faced a hopeless situation with the earth, but he said, let there be light. And there was light. You would think that it happened immediately. thing that happened immediately. I'm going to get there very soon. But God said. In chapter 2, we saw that the earth didn't produce any fruit, any tree, until the old man came on the earth. Hallelujah. So God said it. Hallelujah. God said it. You have to say it. You have to say it. Your faith is expressed through your saying. I caught myself saying some things, and I realized that what I've been saying is actually permeating and causing that thing that I'm facing to continue and grow worse. Because I've been saying, hallelujah. Praise God. Because I've been saying that this thing is paining me. This thing is, because I have to explain to my children. Oh my God. Hallelujah. What you explain to your children is what the Word of God says, not what you experience. Faith does not work when you say your experience. Faith works when you say what you are not experiencing. As a believer, which you are, you must say to this, what you say is so important. God, Jesus said it to the disciples. It's not what I did. It's not far-fetched. I spoke to this fig tree, and the fig tree withered from its root. You, Peter, that was shocked, can say to this mountain, be removed and be now cast into the sea. Peter, I know that Peter was wondering, and wondering, just like you're wondering, is it possible that what I say will come to pass? As long as you are saying what God has said, that thing will come to pass. So you must keep saying. Hallelujah. You must keep saying. Say to the mountain. Say to the situation. Say it. Keep saying. If thou shalt say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea, it will happen. Number 3. But you must really believe it will happen. A lot of people define faith as believing. Believing is not faith until faith has actions. Hallelujah. Believing is one part component of faith. Hallelujah. You must believe that it will happen. What you are saying will happen. And to believe the word, it means that I am convinced that this word will come to pass in my life. Abraham showed what it means to believe in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, the Bible says that Abraham considered his body. His body was dead. And he considered his wife. The woman was past menopause. The deadness of Sarah's womb. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Your praise level depends on your believing. Let me say that again. The level in which you praise God concerning that thing, concerning the change, what you say, concerning what you say, in other words, you say, for instance, my account is full of money. Because God said he will cause prosperity to flow to you like a river. And the wealth of the nations, like an overflowing stream. And you get that scripture. You say it, that my account is flowing with money. It's flowing with the money. In reality, your account is empty. Hallelujah. But faith does not consider the reality. He considers it. It says, Abraham, he considered his body dead. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. Hallelujah. He was strong in faith. In other words, you must believe that what you are saying will come to pass. This is where many Christians fail. This is where I've been failing. Hallelujah. This is where many Christians fail, believing that what God has said, that you say, will come to pass. We believe only for a moment. We fall short. We stop believing. Because circumstances come, and circumstances, let me tell you this. You have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil. Peter said it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you have an enemy. And the enemy is the devil. It's not your neighbor. It's not the people in the village. It's the devil. Hallelujah. The devil is your enemy. So whatever happens is because the enemy wants you to lose your faith. So we need to believe. We need to be convinced that on the realities of God's word, that it is real. It is currency. So we believe. Hallelujah. See, Jesus said it in the NLT. Jesus said that you must really believe. But you must really believe it will happen. And have no doubt in your heart. In other words, you must really believe. Hallelujah. Let me quickly go on. Hallelujah. Number one, you desire it earnestly. You desire it earnestly. Number two, you say to the situation. And say completely, say continually, you say to the situation. Number three, you must believe that what you say will happen. And number four. If you do number three, number four will come to you. And number four is that you must act on what you are saying. The woman with the issue of blood, she could have said in her heart, that if I touch the hem of the garment, if she never touched the hem of the garment, she would never be healed. The Roman centurion told Jesus to say the word only. It's a different case. Hallelujah. Your case, if you do number two and three effectively, if you say effectively and you believe effectively, number four will come to you. Concerning your situation. So what you are saying, do. What you are saying, do. It does not matter how you feel. Do. Hallelujah. If you are in faith, your believing will cause you to do. Your believing will cause you to do. So act on what you say. And number five. If you are in faith, you can wait for it patiently. Hallelujah. This is an area this generation fails. An area we all fail in this generation. Because we think that everything happens overnight. Not everything happens overnight. But it doesn't change our believing. I will tell you this story. I heard it from Kate Moore. I told the story some time ago. I'll say it again. We must believe and we must say, and then we must wait for it patiently. So Kate Moore was believing God. He came across him and his wife. They came across this scripture that says that if you agree touching anything, that shall be done unto you. When you ask God, that will be done unto you. God does it. So they said, okay, let's agree that we'll get a car. Let's agree that we'll get a car. But unfortunately, they fixed a time to it. That God is a big God. God is a big God. So 30 days is too small. It's okay for God to do it. 30 days. 30 days is a long time. For us, we say 3 days. God is a big God. God is a big God. 3 days is enough for us for God to do it. It does not always follow. Hallelujah. It does not always follow. God is a God of process. Tell your neighbor, God is a God of process. He wants to change you more than give you what you need. He wants you to become a better person more. What the Bible says about faith? He said that by faith we stand. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1. He said by faith we stand on the, we will see the glory of God. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1. He said by justified by faith. He said that by faith we stand and see the glory of God. But we don't just glory in what they believe. We grow in persecutions. Because persecutions will produce what? Okay, let me read that scripture. Romans chapter 5. Since you don't know it, open up to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been made right to God, with God, by faith, we have peace with God. And I'm reading the NLT. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Verse 3, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Hallelujah. They help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope is not led to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Hallelujah. In other words, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What you will see, the word becoming flesh, is the glory of God. But that has to go through a process. You must keep on saying through the process that this thing has changed. This situation has changed because you believe that it has changed. Do you believe that God is committed to you? Do you believe that you will have what you say? Do you believe the things that you are saying? Are you ready to act on what you say? Hallelujah. Let's stand up on our feet as we declare God's word. You will see God's word come to pass in your life if you believe that. Say amen. You will see God's word come to pass in your life. You will see God's word become a reality in your life. But you need faith to convert it. Say, God, I'm going to say, concerning this situation, it might be the growth of your business. It might be the growth of your church. It might be your health. It might be your finances. It might be anything that is bothering you. If God has said, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. In Christ, they are yes. If God has said it, then they are yes in Christ. And I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. Say boldly that this what God has said, this is what I'm going to experience, and believe it. Go ahead and just say it right now. If you know what God has said concerning a situation that you are facing, concerning a situation, make a commitment to God that I will not go back on this. I set today as a mark. I will not go back on this. This has happened because God's word is a reality. Go ahead and talk to God. Go ahead and declare it that it has done. Hallelujah. Go ahead and declare that it has done. It is done. Because it is done. Today is 16th of April. I will not go back on it. I will always say, I will always say, because I desire this earnestly. Don't be a person that desires something and just lets it go. If God has said something concerning that thing, you can hold on to that thing. You can hold on to that thing. You can hold on to that thing and bring it to pass by faith. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just, I want to give you 5 minutes to say it in the presence of God. To say in the presence of God that this situation I have changed this situation based on what God has said. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.